Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 46, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1042, page 1042, we'll start with verse 46 and read through verse 50, these five verses from the 27th chapter of Matthew. And as is our custom to do, let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And join me also on the 50th, please. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And let's pray. Lord, thank you so for this day. It's an exciting day, a good day. Thank you for the blessing and joy of knowing thee and of knowing thy presence here in this building from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. And we pray that thou wouldst bless now in this service. Once again, may we feel the blessed anointing spirit of thy help here. And bless, we ask, our preacher and every listener. Make it a great day for the preaching and the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, holy, holy is the time when one of thy servants stands with an open Bible and speaks to the people. I pray that eternity shall bend low, and the Holy Spirit shall find it easy to work with freedom through thy servant today. Quieten us, still us, speak through us and to us. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to speak for a few minutes on the subject, is he your God or is he your Father? Is he your God or is he your Father? I guess one of the most difficult things I've ever faced as a pastor has been my inability to rise to the rescue of our children when they have been mistreated, maybe they have, by different groups. If one of our children has been under attack, maybe, or criticized, I felt always that it was not in good taste for the pastor to always be running and defending his children. And I've always tried to not pamper them. But not a few tears have fallen from these eyes when I felt that perhaps I could have come to the rescue, but felt I should not. Such was the case, and far more, when Jesus saw for the first time the backside of the Father, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen very carefully. The first recorded words of our Lord during his earthly ministry, to my knowledge, are these. How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about, notice now, my Father's business? Notice he did not say, wished ye not that I must be about my God's business. He said, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business. In the last recorded words of our Lord before he was buried, in his non-glorified body, were these, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Notice now, he did not say, God, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His first recorded words, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. His last recorded words in his physical body, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And in between those two statements, I wonder how many times our Lord spoke of the Father. He said in Matthew 7:21, I have come to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He said in Matthew 10:18 that the angels behold the face of my Father. In Matthew 25:39, he said, or 34, he said, come, ye blessed of my Father. There's a little whistle in this, fellas. A trifling whistle. Come, ye blessed of my Father. And in Luke 24:49, he said, I will send you the promise of the Father. He did not say, come, ye blessed of my God. He did not say, I'll send the promise of my God, but the promise of my Father. In John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. He did not say, I and my God are one. I and my Father are one. In John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Not as my God, but as my Father. And at least six times in Matthew 17, in that beautiful, agonizing prayer of Gethsemane, our Lord mentions the word Father. He says, Holy Father, O Father, my Father. The first words of Calvary were these, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The first word our Lord said, as far as our recording is concerned, on the cross, was the word, Father. Father, forgive them. And the last word spoken on Calvary began with that same word, Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, are you listening? I am stunned when I come to that middle cry on Calvary. The first cry, Father, forgive them. The last cry, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. But the middle cry says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice now, are you listening? He did not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But he interrupts this progression of using Holy Father, my Father, a Father. And all of a sudden, Jesus said for the only time in his life, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am stunned about that. The first saying of our Lord on the cross was, Father, forgive them. Then he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Then he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Those are the first three. The last three are, I thirst. It is finished. And Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. But right in the middle of those, there is a change of salutation. He does not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, why did Jesus transfer
from saying all of his earthly life, Father, my Father, Holy Father, my Father, dear Father. And then after he said this statement, he goes back to saying, Father, into thy hands. He didn't say, God, into thy hands. Father, into thy hands. You're listening. Why? I'll tell you why.
The key word is the word forsaken.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know what that word forsaken means? It means disowned. It means you're not my son anymore. It means I absolve our relationship. There, for a few minutes on the cross, Jesus was disowned by his Father. He could not say, my Father. He had to say, my God. For he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou disowned me? Disenfranchised me. Why hast thou disowned me? Now, follow me carefully.
Brother Ray, stand beside me, please. You can use this microphone right here.
Follow me carefully. This is not rehearsed, as you will find out. Ray Bordway is going to be God the Father. He's turned toward me. I am going to be, with this microphone right here, I am going to be God the Son. We are fellowshipping. We did from eternity. It was the Father, the Son, turn this up just a tad, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that created the universe. In the beginning, God, Elohim, three in one, the plurality in one, the great Godhead, was in existence. Jesus prayed, Father, restore to me the joy which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, what blessed fellowship they had. And what sweet communion that they had one with the other. As the Father and the Son in eternity, fellowship with each other. When Jesus came to earth and became flesh, that fellowship was not broken. Though he was running on earth, he still fellowshiped with the Father. Read that amazing 17th chapter of John, and you will see the intimacy that Jesus had with the Father. And so the Father's face was turned toward him. But the reason Jesus came to earth was to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. He came that he might fulfill and fulfill full the law. And so on the cross, Jesus, God's only begotten Son, took your sin and my sin, and those sins were heaped upon Christ. And so if you would please, Brother John, take the sins, get a handful of sins and heap them. That's lively sins. Heap those upon me. And get a handful of Brother Day's sins. It may take a whole wheelbarrow there. Or heap those sins upon me. And get a 4-ton truck for Dr. Evans, if you would be. And heap those sins upon me. Thank you. Now be seated. Now then, Jesus had your sin and my sin and all the sins of all mankind heaped upon himself on Calvary. He who was rich became poor. He who was righteous became unrighteous. He who was perfect became imperfection. He became there in that moment a harlot for the harlots. He became a drunkard for the drunkards. He became a dopehead for the dopeheads. He became sin. He became sin that we, through his righteousness, might be made righteous forever and forever. And so here he is on the cross, and the sins of all the world heaped on his shoulders. And then all of a sudden, God looks and sees the sins of the world heaped on Jesus. So Jesus now, in the sight of the Father, is a sinner. Is that right? And so the Father turns his back upon Jesus. Then Jesus cries, my God! My God! You've always been my Father. Come to now. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, Holy Father, restore unto me the joy which I had with thee before the world was. And now all of a sudden, because he became your sin and my sin, and all the sins of all the world were heaped upon his shoulders, Jesus was paying our penalty. And God the Father, who cannot and will not stand aside of sin, God turned his back upon Jesus, and Jesus did not say, my Father, why have you turned your back upon me? No, he said, my God, why hast thou disowned me? Jesus was willing for your sin and mine to be disowned. He did more than suffer a few nails in his hands. He did more than take a spike or two in his feet. He did more than endure a crown of thorns on his brow. He did more than take the beating of the cat of nine tails. He suffered for your sin and my sin and was disowned by the Father. I can't comprehend that. I don't know what this boy might do someday, but he's my boy. I do not know what type of life he may live someday, but he's my boy. And if perchance he had gone off and left the will of God and denied the faith his dad has preached, he's still my boy. It matters not what he does. He's my boy. Do you understand what it would mean for me to say, he's not my son. I disown him. Take his name off. Take the house name off. He's not my boy. You multiply the heartbreak of a father on earth by millions and trillions of times, and you'll know something of the great heart of God, the broken heart of God, when he turned his back on his son. That's what John 3:16 means. For God so loved the world that he disowned his only begotten son, that you and I, by believing on him, would never be disowned by God. Oh, yes, I'm one of his own, the writer said. A child he'll never disown. And so, he's disowned me. I'm his son. I'm his only begotten son. I had fellowship with him. It's always been Father. One of my closest friends had an unbelievable thing to happen to him. This is worth hearing. His own son went into sin and became angry with his father and mother. And his own son burned the house, total loss, his mom's and dad's house. The insurance company came and they said, you cannot collect your insurance unless you press charges against your boy. And that daddy looked at me with tears streaming down his cheeks and he said, for the house, I've got to press charges against my own son. And I've got to go to court and I've got to stand in court, indict and testify against my own son. And that's what God did. Because God loved you, because God loved me, his son became sin. And God said, I press charges against you, son. And then he declared the royal courtroom session and beat upon the desk, the gavel on the desk. And he said, the courtroom is in sin. And the father turned and his son faced the father. And the father said to his son, guilty, guilty, guilty. What is the price for sin? What is the price? The price for sin is separation from God. And because Jesus was pronounced guilty, his own father turned his back on him. And Jesus could not say, my Father, for the first time in eternity, for the first time ever, he had to say, my God. Let me ask you a question. Is he your Father or is he your God? It all depends on what you've done with his son. Amen. Everybody in this room this morning, you can say God is your God. He created you. He sustains you. He feeds you. The air you breathe is his. The ground you walk on is his. The water you drink is his. The food you eat is his. The planet on which you live is his. He's your God. You can talk about the Godhood of God if you want to. Universal Godhood of God. But you can't talk about the universal Fatherhood of God. For He who is your God is not your Father until you've made it right with His Son. And so here it is. Jesus, pronounced guilty, forsaken, disowned by His own Father. His Father turns His back. And then if you'll notice, His next cry is this. I thirst. His Father's back is still on Him. I thirst. What was He doing? He was dipping His own soul into your hell and my hell. He was suffering the pangs of all the hell that all the people would ever suffer who died and went to hell forever. And there in that moment on Calvary when He cried, I thirst, He was dipping His soul into the torments of the damned and suffering hell for you and me. And then He cried, It is finished. Now what does that mean? On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would always take the blood of the innocent sacrifice inside the Holy of Holies. He'd sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. He would come back out of the Holy of Holies. If God by fire had lapped up the blood on that mercy seat, that meant God had accepted the atonement for the sins of the people for another year. The high priest then would say, It is finished. And that meant that God had accepted. Jesus took your sin and my sin and bore them in His body. And then He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't His Father. Why? So He could be your Father. Then He cried, It is finished. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Now then, the fellowship is restored. He's His Father again. No longer does He have to say, my God, why? Because He's been indicted by His own Father. Judged by His own Father. Pronounced guilty by His own Father. And disowned by His own Father. When I was a boy, I never called my daddy Father. Never one time. And I recall my daddy Father. He was my daddy, but He was not a father to me. I saw Him turn and walk out the door of 126 block of Idaho Street and say goodbye to me, never to walk in our house to live again. I never called Him my Father. I can recall when I was a little boy. How many times, Brother Ray, I wished I could call Him Father. I heard Bob Keyes call His dad Father. I heard Leroy Howard call His dad Father. I heard Richard Newton call his deacon dad Father. I never felt like that fit my daddy. I'd call him Dad or Daddy, but I never called him Father. May I say this? I don't think in all the years, the last years Dr. Rice lived, I don't think I ever missed Father's Day for Dr. Rice. I dreamed last night that Dr. Rice rose from the dead. I dreamed. And he came back and preached and he said, folks, it's not near as bad as you think it is to die. Not near as bad as you think it is. I preached with him last night. And I'm so confident.
But my own earthly daddy was never a father to me. I know something of the hurt wishing I had a father and not just a dad. I'm talking to people this morning who have a God, but not a father. You've heard people speak of how wonderful He is, and you've envied them. You've wanted this peace that they have.
You've envied that relationship that they seem to enjoy
with a heavenly Father. I have good news for you this morning. Your God can become your Father today.
Well, you say, Brother Hiles, how can He become my Father?
You believe this story I just told you.
You believe that Jesus took your sins in His own body. You believe that God the Father indicted Him. You believe that God the Father judged Him and pronounced Him guilty and turned His back on Him. Believe it. And you believe that there in that dark moment of Calvary, when our Savior said, my God, not my Father, but my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You believe that. You believe it. You believe that He paid in that dark moment every payment for your sin.
I hear my Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. You heard it a while ago.
Jesus paid it all.
You see.
Believe it. Believe it. Believe that Jesus bore your sin. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that Jesus was disowned by the Father. Believe
that your salvation is finished. Believe that He suffered your hell. And you rush to Jesus and say, Jesus, what church I've joined, I don't know yet.
What nominational tag I have, I don't know yet.
But one thing I do know, I know I'm a sinner, and I know You paid for my sins, and I know that You were disowned for me, so that I may never be disowned from my Father. I'm saying this for you. That when Jesus said,
it is finished!
And once again, that sweet fellowship of His Lord is simply a sign, a symbol of what happens every time a person comes to Christ.
God's back is turned on you because of sin. And your back is turned on God.
And you can turn around all you want to, but that won't turn God around.
You can join a church, but that won't turn God around. You can be baptized, but that won't turn God around. You can take the sacrament or Eucharist, but that won't turn God around.
You can turn over a new leaf, but that won't turn God around. And I'll tell you what will turn God around. You say, Jesus, thank You for dying for me, and I now receive You as my Savior. And God turns back towards you, and you can say, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you can say, my Father, my Father, my Father. This morning, don't you wish you had that relationship? Don't you want to change my God for my Father?
He who is your God by divine creation. He who is your God by sustenance. He who is your God by ownership
wants to become your Father. How do you get to it? No man cometh unto thee Father. You can come to God, but you can't come to the Father.
You can cry out to some God up there somewhere, but that won't take you to heaven when you die.
But if you come to the Father, you come by the Son. Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing today if you transfer that relationship from God to Father? Or shall I say, from God to God-Father. Not only will He be your God, but be your Father. Father,